From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 277 with guest Victor Mushkatin, recorded Tuesday, August 7th, 2012. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thank you for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today is Victor Mushkatin, and he is the CTO of Avicode, a leading provider in .NET application monitoring and troubleshooting solutions. An expert software architect and adept business manager and leader, Mr. Mushkatin has developed a variety of software components, enterprise applications, and web-based collaboration portals to include integration with a variety of financial systems, government systems, and communication networks. But you're not the CTO of Avicode anymore.
No. I work for Microsoft right now.
Okay, so did Avicode get acquired by Microsoft?
Yeah, in October 2010, we've been acquired by Microsoft, and now we completely integrated all the products that Avicode used to build into System Center Operations Manager.
Awesome.
So I'm part of the System Center happy family.
But, I mean, as CTO, you clearly were one of the visionaries behind what Avicode was all about. Tell me, I mean, what were you thinking? What's the story of these products?
Well, after I moved to U.S. in 97, I was working as a consultant, and we started our small consulting practice. And then realized basically that majority of the time, we were refactoring, building new features in the software. It was those days, the dot-com kind of era.
Right.
We realized that the most expensive thing is to figure out what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
We were consultants. We didn't have access to the servers. So it was truly, now I understand, a DevOps experience where we really need to understand what's going on in prod in real life,
yep,
real-time kind of environment. And we didn't have any tooling, and ops were not really helpful, and granted, they don't know what we need. So what we started building, we started building a bunch of libraries, instrumentation libraries. What's interesting was that there were plenty of libraries that answer question how to expose, I don't know, perf counters, how to expose WMI,
right,
messages, SMTP, whatever, well, you name it. But there was no theory with respect to what needs to be collected. And if I'm a dev and I have an exception, the what information do I need to collect?
Mm-hmm.
And typically what we've been doing, we've been collecting stuff, hoping that whatever you collect is enough.
Yeah. But there's this log file effect where once the application crashes, then you can go back and look at the log file and say, oh, I see, these numbers mean we're going to crash soon.
Yeah. So, that's where idea came to mind, that in reality, what you need to kind of abstract the logic of data collection from the code itself.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, when we were thinking about starting a new product company. We started with a couple ideas that didn't work out. What we thought is that by porting some of the Java, and we started even with Corbis services to Microsoft Stack to .NET, that's going to be a killer app. That didn't work out. But what we found out, that we were dabbling with AspectJ, mm-hmm, aspect-oriented programming, and we realized that as with aspect-oriented programming, certain concepts essentially cut across object hierarchy, class hierarchy, with this logging or tracing or debugging kind of, that's also something that's better be introduced after the fact. So that's how we came up with an idea of Intercept Studio. And instead of you as a developer building that kind of code into your app, we created the on-the-fly bytecode instrumentation technology that allows you to essentially increase or decrease the depth of data collection on the fly, which means that you don't have to know what you need to collect up front.
Right.
And if whatever you collected is not enough, by tweaking config, not changing the code, by tweaking config, you can collect more stuff. And that was pretty powerful.
Yeah. But this is sort of external instrumentation of an application without having to modify the application. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And I think as part of that, we early on realized that we got to be focusing on monitoring, not tracing. Mm-hmm. We've seen scenarios where people start using essentially tracing for the monitoring purposes, and it happens that, let's say, I'm using Log4Net or Enterprise Library, and I'm generating, I don't know, lots amount of logs. And what ops will do, they will start cleaning those logs. Mm-hmm. We had scenarios where customers were using Log4Net, and they were essentially overwriting logs every 2 minutes.
Wow.
And what happens was basically when the problem occurs, and by the time it goes through all the chains and enterprises and enterprise IT is trying to collect those logs, that information already gone.
Yeah. You're so, just overwhelmed.
It all overwhelmed. So the idea, it's interesting, the idea for our product was not to collect information.
Hmm.
Maybe it sounds really strange, but what we were trying to do, we were trying to compare ourselves with, let's say, a smoke detector versus surveillance camera. Mm-hmm. You can use surveillance camera for detecting smokes, as well as for monitoring for thieves.
Right.
However, you need a person and a screen and lots of tapes or whatever to look at that and constantly pay attention. Versus a smoke detector, which was specifically designed to detect a fire. Actually, I'm not sure how it does it, but it is designed to do that.
Yeah.
So we built the technology that was designed to detect essentially abnormalities. And you don't need to collect lots of instances. Let's say you have a button that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. 1,000 people click on that button. It doesn't work. You don't have to collect 1,000 events. You can collect, I don't know, first 3 of the same instances and then say, you know what, the same problem happened 997 times.
Right.
In addition to those 3. So that's what we were building. We're building lots of kind of heuristics algorithm to make our monitoring lightweight. Because, we were talking about microseconds to collect the data. And we were talking about services that were very high performance services. Our clients back then were, Bank of America, Citi, Microsoft, Xbox. Right, MSNBC.com. So
right.
Lots of services where performance was an issue in a sense that you cannot, monitoring system should not introduce significant performance impact to the system. So we were building this software, and over the years, we build a trust with our customers and essentially with Microsoft to that we are the leading kind of .NET monitoring provider. We were focused on .NET specifically,
mm-hmm.
Though we were looking into Java as well and applicability into Java world. That was something that we were started to look into. But in 2010, essentially, Microsoft decided to pull the trigger and bought us and relocated us from various places. And now we're building next-gen of APM tools as part of System Center.
And what's the component of System Center that incorporates this capability?
So right now, all the capabilities of AviCode Intercept Studios are integrated into System Center Operations Manager.
Right.
So right now, and the interesting thing, it's part of Microsoft. When we were selling our technology, we were selling it $5,000 per server.
Mm-hmm.
With Microsoft, you get all of AviCode as well as all of System Center product line, including Ops Manager, Orchestrator, and you name it.
Yep.
VMM for much, much lower price.
Yeah, it's a bargain for what it is.
It's definitely.
But
a bargain.
I think a lot of folks think about at least on the IT side, OpsMan is a way to manage event logs across multiple servers in a consolidated way. This is a whole other part of OpsMan I think a lot of people haven't looked at.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, OpsMan is growing out of purely infra monitoring mm-hmm. into application monitoring. And if you look what with the most recent acquisition of AviCode or with the most recent announcement of global service monitoring, where you now can monitor availability of your app by synthetically generating load. So we are kind of growing towards the full APM suite of products.
Well, yeah, it's hugely compelling. So the question here is, as an IT guy, I've got Opsman 2012. How do I instrument these .NET applications my developers are building?
Oh, that's the beauty. You don't have to instrument anything per se. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is you have to run through the wizard that will show you all discovered .NET components. And as a result of that wizard, it will automatically create an MP that would let you monitor application for exceptions, critical exceptions, and performance degradation. So in other words, if in old days, old school type of thinking, mm-hmm. you would have to rely on developers to provide you with, let's say, failure modes.
Right.
In a sense of failure modes is critical failed conditions, right? And what you have to do, your developers would have to create a management pack that would read, let's say, event log, and if such condition is detected, expose that in a form of an alert. And that's how you would build your health model.
Right.
So with New Way, with 2012, we will automatically create a management pack as a result of essentially as an output of a wizard, and we will concentrate on the if you will, a dark side of applications. So not on well-known failure modes,
right,
but on something that you as a developer you did not expect.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a difference now between expected failure, something that you aware might happen and you know how to fix it, how to implement a workaround. Let's say typical scenario for failure mode, kind of one-on-one, printer is out of paper.
Right.
This is a well-known failure mode, and there is a well-known workaround. Just put print paper back into printer.
Yeah.
And that's what we call expected failure,
mm-hmm.
where with AviCode technology and what we now exposing through Ops Manager, you can take any apps, regardless how it was written, how it was instrumented, and Ops Manager will learn all unexpected behavior. And when such behavior occurs, it will collect a root cause information out of the box. And that root cause information would collect call stack, which would collect, I don't know, slow performing SQL calls with parameters. It would collect, function variables. We would crawl through the object graph.
Mm-hmm.
So without you actually doing anything.
So what's the trigger to start capturing all that information?
Huh. There are a couple triggers. If we're talking about, let's say, exception. We have a notion of, if you will, quote-unquote, unhandled exception, critical exceptions. Any exceptions .NET would be handled by framework itself. So let's say I'm writing a web page, and my exception bubbled up all to the page error.
Okay.
And typically what I do, I show a nice page server and available, try again later type of thing.
Yep.
So that we would consider a critical exception.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the box, if exception unwind as part of the bubbling up, unwind all the way to the top level Microsoft kind of provided framework provided exception handler, we treat that exception as critical, and we will be collecting data for that exception.
Okay.
Where if exception has been caught, let's say you're a developer and you check array boundaries using exception,
mm-hmm.
We would learn that this exception has been caught, has not been rethrown, so it has not been bubbled up all the way to the top, and we would not treat it by default,
right,
as a critical exception.
Yeah, it's been handled.
It's been handled,
but
right?
You still could see it, so you've got a log that it's happened.
That's correct. But the important thing is that when you want to alert, you want to alert on critical exceptions,
mm-hmm.
something that really affected the end user.
Right.
Versus troubleshoot list of, I don't know, the noise, because exceptions are expensive. And that's maybe a sidetrack. Long time ago, I was talking about Rotor Code 1.0, just .NET 1.0.
Right. Way back when?
Way back when. Yeah. So we were talking about exception handling was like 300 times slower than normal function returns.
Right.
Okay, so that's why if you have excessive amount of exceptions in your app, that also slows things down.
Sure, because my other concern here would be that this sort of instrumentation package does impact the performance of the app.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much impact is there if you're running this?
Yeah, and I remember in old days there was a big actually Microsoft portal where the QA team was not approving new version of the app.
Mm-hmm.
If the percentage of exceptions, .NET exception counter, is higher than 5%,
wow,
to the total number of requests. And it's pretty hard, by the way, if you think that every redirect will cause thread abort exception.
Right.
So to get to that level of below 5%, that's a lot of tricks. At least no redirects.
Yeah, that's a ton of work going on there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, performance has gotten much better. This is less of a concern. What I'm excited about in this perspective is I have worked with tools like Preemptive's Real-Time Intelligence,
mm-hmm,
which is included as part of Studio 2012. But you still need a developer involved, and there's services to stand up and so forth. This just seems like here I don't have to involve the developer if I don't want to be able to have a sense of what that app looks like healthy and what it looks like when it's failing.
Absolutely. Preemptive and this have a slightly different philosophical kind of roots, where Preemptive does it in a compile time.
Mm-hmm.
So it essentially builds, it's part of your dev product,
mm-hmm,
and it builds instrumentation into the running code.
Right.
Where with SystemCenter Ops Manager, this is a runtime. So at the runtime, you can essentially, at the assembly loader, we intercept assembly loader, and as you load your assemblies, we bytecode instrument function,
mm-hmm,
with our code. So it's a different point of injection.
Right.
Either static at compile time or dynamic at the runtime.
Okay. Yeah. Big difference there. And all it takes to do that is running this wizard, I presume, on the machine that has the app installed.
No, you don't have to do anything on the machine. You basically, what happens is, essentially, SCOM to developers in just 5 seconds. SCOM provides you with, I think, four capabilities, right? First, it allows you to discover things. Literally, you have a discovery script. If you have, let's say, your applications installed and throughout the enterprise on a bunch of servers, you can create a script. Literally, let's say VB script,
mm-hmm,
to simplify things, that would go to, let's say, a registry, check the key, and basically report that, hey, this app is found here. That's
right.
The first thing you do. And definitely, you can be more elaborate. You can discover, let's say, if your app has different features, you can also report back that, well, this is this app with this features enabled installed here. So the first thing is a discovery. Second thing, you have rules that allows you to collect perf counters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have monitors that allows you to trigger an alert if there is a violation of a particular threshold. And then you can create a health model that basically allows you to create a pretty complicated kind of hierarchical representation of your app,
mm-hmm,
if you have an app that consists of different components, that consists of different features and so forth. You can define how the state of each component or each feature would be bubbled up to be represented as a state of an app,
mm-hmm,
itself. So that's what essentially a management pack. Now, with APM feature, what we provide, we out of the box discover all IIS-based apps.
Okay.
Right? So what you'd be able to do, you'd be able to see all your web services, ASP.NET, WCF, and so forth, endpoints that are hosted in W3WP, right? So you have that list. Then what you do, you just essentially pick an app from that list and go through the wizard that is pretty generic. You're basically saying, what is your alerting threshold? In other words, if application responds slower than, let's say, 5 seconds, you want to be notified. You want to collect an event.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through that wizard, and you don't have to have an app on the SCOM management console. You can essentially go into kind of spouse mode. Next. Yes.
Yeah.
And it will create a default configuration. And that default configuration would be sufficient, I would say, in, I don't know, 90% of the time.
Okay.
So, because what we will do, we will bytecode instrument an app, and we will start collecting data for all non-Microsoft frames. So for all Microsoft or system dot namespaces, we will not be collecting data out of the box. Mm-hmm. However, for all custom namespaces, we will be collecting data. And so if function from a custom namespace is running slow, we would collect the data.
Okay.
And we have default configurations. For example, for each member, for each variable function variable, we would go through, let's say, three level deep through the object graph. We will collect first, I don't know, 10 values from array or hash. So our default configuration would be good enough to start with. And if you need more, we definitely provide capabilities for you to kind of alter our config.
Yeah, because my concern would be that you get too much data.
That is true. So we're trying to not to overwhelm you with the data.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have, over the years, we kind of developed the profile that works for the most people. And from my experience, the biggest problem is essentially, if I look at, it's... object reference not set, that's the worst probably exception ever.
Yeah.
And the cause of that exception is usually incorrect handling for DB nulls. When there is a data inconsistency in SQL.
Right.
And you thought that the record set would contain some records. And it doesn't. And you're trying to get ID from there and query something. It turns out that there's nothing there and you didn't write appropriate code to handle it. And you fail. So that's, from what I've seen, the majority of the exceptions, typically during production operations. And the rest, during the deployment, exceptions like connectivity problems where you're trying to connect to something and that something doesn't exist, or security exceptions when you are connected, but you're trying to access a table, let's say, but you don't have right permissions.
Yeah.
Those type of exceptions usually happen during the deployment phase. That's why tools like us, Ops Manager, APM, are also very useful when you're trying to do your deployment and you're trying to understand if everything is working okay.
Yeah, battling the developers, it works on my machine.
So, exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, and you bring up a couple of really challenging points there, which is, as an IT guy, I'm going to get this instrumentation, I'm going to look at these errors, and do I understand them? Like, a type mismatch is not something, as an IT person, I'm normally going to encounter. I can handle a security violation, I know what that is, we're clearly going to get these different classes of errors and have to try and figure out, well, what do these things mean?
Absolutely, and therefore, this new DevOps kind of interaction are extremely important, because many of these problems that will be discovered will not be handled by the IT. Even though they are, 7x24 right now, they won't be able to fix, those deep in the code problems. However, they need to have a tooling that allows them to A, detect a problem, B, collect the relevant information, mm-hmm. C, escalated to developers. And that's why we have this integration with TFS,
right,
that allow you to essentially escalate either manually or automatically, absolutely automatically, for all, let's say, application failures, automatically escalate that into TFS. And we will, on the fly, create a work item with a special type called operational issue,
right,
type. We will include all information that we collect in production.
Mm-hmm.
So we essentially mimic the alert properties inside work item, operational issue type work item. And also, this is a new feature that we're releasing in SP1. We will convert whatever data we collected in prod into IntelliTrace log file.
Okay. I mean, for folks who, TFS is Team Foundation Service. This is part of the Visual Studio Application Lifecycle Management Suite. This is what your developers are using to make the builds of the apps that are pushing through. And now with Ops 2012, we're able to feed right back into that these operational errors as bugs.
Yep.
And IntelliTrace is going in a whole other order where I'm actually able to snapshot the machine that was getting the error and feed that back to the developer as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's, which is, if you've never seen that in action, it's pretty magical. What they're doing. That's crazy powerful stuff. So, I mean, lots of people have different interpretations of what the DevOps concept means. But to me, the big thing is just is a mechanism for IT folks, operations folks, to be able to feed information back to developers in a way that's useful to them that actually makes the product better.
Absolutely. So essentially, right now there's a lot of buzz in what is DevOps versus mm-hmm. NullOps versus Dev-Ops. I've heard even those kind of nuances. But in reality, if you have people that are largely responsible for building new features, and that's one set of people, and then you have a set of people that are mostly running the software, you have DevOps.
Mm-hmm.
Any communication between those two constituencies, I would consider DevOps.
Right.
The only question is it a friction-free, is it painless, or there's a lot of tension, a lot of finger-pointing between those two silos?
Well, and I would also look at the speed of it. I mean, as an operations guy, I've always had a way to feed back to developers, but it tended to go through a hierarchical chain, right? I talk to my IT manager, who then maybe communicates to the dev manager. Like, and every time you pass that information roughly along, it gets lower quality and takes longer to respond to.
Yeah, exactly. So these days, when we are doing, I don't know, deployments once a day or like Flickr 10 times a day,
mm-hmm.
The speed is of an essence.
Yeah.
So you got to be extremely agile. And that's why I think conversation about DevOps mostly associated with the agile, small cloud solution builders type of mentality.
Right.
But in reality, to me, I think this is as applicable to big services, because if big enterprise services are down, they have actual financial implications.
For
so
sure.
We're not talking about business-to-consumer type of thing. Business-to-business type of thing. If Fidelity.com is not processing my trades or screwing up my trades, it's a big deal.
Yeah, right? No
so
kidding.
That's why big financial enterprises long time adopted APM tooling, because they learn that downtime costs actual money.
Yeah. And the quicker you can get back up and running again, the better off you are. But I hate focusing on dealing with it at the point of failure. You know, I really want to get into this. We can see a progression towards failure and act before the failure occurs.
Absolutely. So what we offer as part of System Center, we have a product called, feature called Global Service Monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially a ability for you to synthetically generate load and detect, I don't know, performance degradation or availability problem prior those issues become a widely spread kind of 100% customer affecting issues.
I mean, you're talking about synthetically generating load. You're talking about loading the application itself?
Basically, what we're saying is that what you can do, you can, for example, create a web test that mm-hmm. validates certain scenario. Let's say if I can open up a page, which means that my site is up, my
right.
DNSs are correct, and my site is generally available.
Right.
If I can log in with a kind of dummy user, it means that my authentication authorization subsystem is working. Most likely my DB is up and everything is, from that standpoint, is my resources are up. If I can process, let's say, credit card transaction and get an incorrect failure, it means that most likely my connectivity, my T1 to clearinghouse is up.
Right.
So what you do is you essentially can record set of most critical to your business scenarios, I don't know, like let's say login or checkout.
Yep.
And then you can periodically exercise those recorded scripts
mm-hmm.
from different point of presence. That basically answer two things. First of all, it gives you a sense whether your feature is up.
Right.
Whether your resources are up powering that feature. And if something is down, it means you got to jump.
Yeah.
So availability problem is something that the outage is the highest priority.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't get to the site.
Yeah, it can't get to the site. So we can do that in active, kind of using this active monitoring, and not rely on end user calling you, and then there is kind of embarrassing moment. Well,
right.
Do you know that your website is down and I cannot log in? And if the answer is no, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So you need to know that. That's one thing. Second thing is that as you are making those requests from different point of presence around the globe, you can technically see how your end user, how your infra, essentially how your mid-mile is actually working. And if you want to optimize the experience for your customers, you can start using Azure CDN or Akamai type of framework to move the content of your app closer to the region you care about.
Okay.
So that's why you can start proactively optimizing for customer experience by looking into a heat map that you can generate from synthetically generated load,
right?
Kind of in a proactive and active manner, as well as from clients actually browsing. We support that as well.
We
support client-side monitoring.
I always worry about synthetic load because I think humans are weirder than any test we can build.
Yeah, and therefore I would not use synthetic load to validate all your usage scenarios in your app. It's basically really good for availability. And then, since in synthetic load, in our POPs, you can essentially trace the execution path and see which links are slow at this particular moment. You can decide where to move the data. However, I do agree with you that in reality, you need to monitor real end users, and we support that. Essentially, what we do is we, on the fly, inject little JavaScript into your outgoing HTML page. It's basically we intercept IIS, and before it spit out the stream, we intercept that stream. We inject our JavaScript code there, and that JavaScript starts running on the client. And as it runs on the client, it collects performance metrics, it collects statistics, as well as JavaScript errors. So what you can do is inside your data center, you would be collecting all that feedback, and you could create essentially develop a better understanding how your end users really experiencing your app. And what I found out from the practical use that sometimes 60 to 70% of your performance degradation is not on your server side.
Sure.
Especially if you're taking into account all the stuff that your marketing department put on your pages from third-party ad agencies.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly your page is not whatever you thought it is. It's just totally different page with totally different performance footprint. And I've had companies that where developers really want to track two numbers, essentially performance of the page without all that marketing blah.
Right.
As well as performance of the page from an user perspective with the marketing ads to show that the content, third-party content that you're pulling to the page adds like over 50% to the total
it does,
page execution.
It can do an awful lot of harm.
But, yeah.
And where does this data get reported right back into OpsMan?
Right now, yes. It goes back to the OpsMan. Basically, you stand up what we call collection service, collector. And that collector essentially collects back those via Ajax calls, basically, all the data that's collected from the client.
Nice. So these are two totally different scenarios in a lot of ways.
You've
got a web-based set of instrumentation. You've also got a .NET app base of instrumentation. Although, I mean, ASP.NET is a .NET app, so you can instrument the server pieces, but that's not the whole story in a web page by far. Like you said, it's all about what the browser actually received and how the user experience is from down there. You need both bits.
Absolutely. So that's why we're saying that we cover this 360 kind of holistic view of the app. We show from the end user, from the browser. That's your last mile. We show you the synthetically generated load, And then we show you the server performance. So we show you from the all three kind of observation tiers. And that provides you with pretty good understanding where is the bottleneck.
Sure.
And moreover, the story doesn't stop at essentially .net. Even though we are instrumenting .net, we're looking at all the calls that are going from your app, from your component of the app, into, let's say, outside world, into third-party web services, or, I don't know, Java mainframe components. So we call it observed tier. Mm-hmm. And that allows you to essentially detect issues that are happening inside, I don't know, your JVM. Granted, we will not provide you a call stack inside JVM yet, but what we will do is we will show you essentially entry-exit parameters.
Yep.
And the timing. And in many cases, that's already pretty good help.
Yeah, that's enough, right? That's going to tell you what the app spent its time on. You clicked on this button and it took this long.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we believe that with Ops Manager 2012, we have pretty compelling story and really kind of a rounded story that gives you a holistic view, end-to-end view of your app from all the angles.
Well, Victor, I think you've overwhelmed me with ideas on how I want to change my customers' application monitoring. That just OpsMan used to be a tool for keeping track of event logs, and now it's clearly much more than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think developers should learn more about OpsMan because it's clearly going above and beyond what traditional infra monitoring tools can provide, and will provide tremendous value to any .NET shop.
Yeah, without adding a bunch of requirements for additional development. I think that's a
Absolutely.
Pretty important part of it.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks so much for talking to me today.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.